breaking records in the city where I live. Everybody, welcome to the Breaking Records Podcast. I'm your host, Kelly K. Fresh Frazier. We got a trio of guests for this episode. We got Julian Gossin, Lumar LeBlanc, and Marcus Hubbard. Three members of the brass ensemble from New Orleans, the Soul Rebels. The Soul Rebels blend elements of contemporary hip-hop, trap, soul, bounce, and pop production mixed with world music and jazz, and they recently released their newest album, Poetry in Motion. During our conversation, we talked about the history of the band and how they evolved over the years, along with how they became one of the go-to backing bands for all sorts of A-list music artists such as Katy Perry, Nas, Marilyn Manson, DMX, G-Eazy, Rakim, Joey Badass, Robin Thicke, Rakim, and GZA, among many, many others. We also get into the new album, Poetry in Motion, and they share some stories about the making of a few of the songs. So, let's get into this interview with Julian, Lumar, and Marcus of the New Orleans brass ensemble, the Soul Rebels. To start things off, please just go ahead and introduce yourselves and kind of, quick introduction about who you are in the band.
My name is Lumar LeBlanc, snare drummer, Soul Rebels.
Marcus Hubbard, trumpet player, Soul Rebels.
Julian Gossin, trumpet player, MC, Soul Rebels.
Yeah, you guys, I was just listening to to you guys' album. It is so good. It just goes into all these great, soulful, emotional places. It's just like what I love to hear in soul music, but then you guys are really in tap, like really bringing out the sound of New Orleans in this album, So when you were, putting this band together, like what was the common goal? What was the sort of initiative of the Soul Rebels?
Wow, you mean the initial initiative when we put the whole group together back in 1991?
Yeah, let's go ahead. Let's go back. Let's go back and tell the story.
Okay. Well, wow. I mean, it was basically from a brotherhood standpoint. A lot of the guys had went to college and high school together, and they were playing brass band music with Dave Jones' Olympia Brass Band. And they wanted a junior band to that band, so they had the Young Olympia Brass Band. And from there, we were playing a little bit more aggressive music other than the traditional Saints Go Marching In, St. Louis Blues type tunes. We were playing some of the funk tunes from Earth, Wind & Fire, Cameo. We even snuck in a little Tribe Called Quest and different R&B grooves like that, James Brown grooves. So when we did that, we didn't want to disrespect the traditional outfit. So we kind of said, man, let's be another group while we're doing this other group also, Young Olympia. Cyril Neville from the Neville Brothers, he had a more of a business idea, saying that, young black males have to kind of take control of their own destiny. He was doing some stuff with his relatives called Deaf Generation, and some of those members were in Soul Rebels, which was only Young Olympia at the time. So Cyril was like, get your publishing together, incorporate yourself and all that. Well, we couldn't incorporate Olympia because that was already incorporated and owned by Harold Duke Dejong. So he gave us a shot, Cyril Neville. He told us, come open up for him at Tipitina's. We opened up, We played mostly street music, stuff like Blackbird Special. That's New Orleans tunes, I'm quoting.
Right.
And then we did this song we had been working on called Let Your Mind Be Free. It hadn't really been, how could you say, published yet, but we kind of came up with it. And at that time, New Orleans was in the midst of a crack epidemic. And we wanted to make a song that talked about stop the killing, stop the drugs, unite all the projects together, unite all of the people, and kind of go forward with positive health and positive words. So that's what Let Your Mind Be Free, our first original song, was. And after the show, Cyril was so outdone and impressed, he said, man, y'all sound like some soul rebels of this music, man. I had never heard the term before, but once I did my research, I found out it came from a Bob Marley song called I'm a Soul Rebel. So we thought the name was awesome, and it stuck. So that's how the name came about. And like I say, the members basically came from that mindset. Always wanted to be, quote unquote, mainstream for whatever our mentality could rise to at that time. Trying to play exact rhythm, exact notes, put choruses to songs, verses, as much as we could with the mentality we had at the time. Like Julian said, he's the MC now. I used to actually do the raps back then. Sir and some other people did the singing. So that's really like what you're asking. The groundwork was laid then. And it just permeated on up to what we got now, which is a masterpiece of artistry.
You know, like, you guys have been a part of so much, you know, so many great things and have worked with so many great artists over the years. You know, how does those experiences go into making your own original music, especially this new album that is about to come out through your own label, the Poetry in Motion album?
Yeah, for us, it's like you say, the collaborations inspired a lot about this record, but it's always been something that Soul Rebels has always been trying to push for. Is basically, we consider just doing the music that we love. You know, you have different members in the band, different generations in the band. We have guys from 25 years old all the way up to 52. So it's like, you know, we have different, you know, perspectives on what music we like and what music we want to kind of bring out, you know. And like you say, doing a lot of the collaborations and stuff is good to talk with those guys and just speak with them on from a musical writing standpoint, or like their approach on how they come up with songs and stuff like that. So it definitely inspired a lot of different stuff on this record, and we decided that we wanted to do some collaborations on this record. So we thought it would be great to just, you know, just think about the different artists that we might want to collaborate with. Plus, you know, 8 members in the band, you have a lot of different perspectives on what direction you want the record to go. So it's kind of, you have to kind of get everybody's feedback on it and then kind of put it all into one gumbo to try to make it go at least in the same direction. So, you know, we've always experimented with different kind of music, from hip-hop to pop to R&B. You know, jazz is always going to be a root, being that we are from New Orleans. So it's, you know, with this record, we just wanted to have it where we didn't put any boundaries. We didn't want to make this CD per se genre specific. We wanted to just make it whatever music we felt came to us at the time. We're just gonna, whatever, if it's a Latin tune, we're gonna go all in on that Latin tune. Figure out, you know, the basis on how it was Latin tunes are created, you know, and what's the foundation for all of these different genres. And that's our approach to every song. If we decide to do a Latin tune, we're going to get into it as if we're, you know, in that Latin vine. And we're going to speak with people that's from that Latin vine to kind of give us the true, you know, roots on how you build these type of tunes. And I think it helped us a lot in the writing process, you know, making sure the records are authentic to whatever genre we were doing at the time.
Early on, when you're describing about, you know, the inception of this group, one of the things that stood out to me was that you're saying how when the music that you wanted to play, you still didn't want to, you know, disrespect the history of New Orleans, but you wanted to play certain music, so that's why you sort of branched off into your own, you know, bands. How does that ideology still exist today, you know, with the Soul Rebels? How do you respect the history of New Orleans music while, you know, also pushing the envelope in your own ways?
Well, the instrumentation still represents an authentic sequence of what New Orleans stands for when you think of New Orleans traditional jazz music: a sousaphone, two trumpets, two trombones, and a tenor saxophone. So we still hold true to that setup, but what we perform and what we play is more contemporary and much more apt to be what is going on today. The sound, the vibe, the tempo, just the whole thrust of it. So we're always going to be I guess, you know, we love New Orleans. We're all from New Orleans, but I mean, we're always going to represent it in some form or fashion, not from just our birthright, but also from the instrumentation that we have. And, you know, we're just trying to push it forward. I mean, we have pushed it forward. The guys here, Corey Pate, Julian Godson, Marcus Hubbard, myself, Derek Moss, Emmanuel, look at me, Eron Williams, you know, Paul Robinson, everybody has done that in the group.
Now, with having 8 members of the group and having a very diverse range and age of the members, you know, how do you sort of, you know, take all the ideas, take all the unique perspectives of everybody in the band and sort of make everything work within, you know, an album itself, you know, like, you know, Poetry in Motion?
Well, like you said, I think for us, we always talk about that. The age range for us, we feel is a blessing, because it's like, you know, me being, I'm in like in almost the top, or like closer to the middle of the age range group in the band. And it's like we're able to get different perspectives on, you know, what type of music is going on. Because when you get to a certain age, certain music you're probably not even listening to. But it's good that we have someone in the band that is their wheelhouse. So it's like when we're doing, say, if we want to do a trap tune or something like that, we have guys in our band that's their thing. You know, they listen to that all the time. And they eat and sleep that. So if we put a track together that's a trap beat, they'll let us know if that's going to be accepted by the people that, you know, that listen to trap music versus, you know, me being 40 and Lamar being 50. You know, it's like we listen to it, but it's not really our wheelhouse. So we're blessed to have someone from every range that, you know, even if we want to say we want to do a 70s tune, you know, we have guys that grew up on that music, you know, so for us it helps, you know, and we always open to, you know, we realize that, all right, this is Manuel Perkins. He's the youngest guy. You know, we're doing a certain tune in that range. We're going to respect his, what he says is good or not on it. You know, we're not going to say, look, try to force our thinking on it, because we understand that he's more in tune with that than we might be. So for us, it's a blessing having that wide range. And I think, like you said, it helped a lot on the record. So when we hear different tunes, then once we put them together, we kind of be like, man, how does this feel to you, being that you're our youngest guy? So, and how does this feel to you, being the older person in the band? And if we're able to get a wide opinion on how the track feels. And a lot of it we felt good all the way across the board. So we felt like that's what we decided. Well, that's going to be a good tune, because it seems like from the youngest guy to the oldest guy in the band, it fits well.
The musicality in New Orleans has a real rich history, you know, with all the different genres that you've already named in this interview. Like, is the, you know, from your perspectives, has there been any sort of like obstacles from generation to generation understanding each other? Is, you know, does that problem exist in New Orleans?
Yeah, I think it, I wouldn't say it exists, but it's definitely acknowledged. I mean, you know, I know for a fact, like, some of the, New Orleans is just a place but it's super built on tradition. And a lot of times they don't like to stray away from tradition.
Yeah.
So, you know, whenever there's something that's not normal, it kind of reacts differently. And sometimes it's not always in the best way. So, you know, Show Rebels for sure, you know, started with the tradition, but the mindset has always been, you know, to kind of do what's right for the guys in the band and what the band always stood for. You know, we've all paid our dues in the music, but at the same time, we also wanted to do what was true to us. So, you know, with that being said, there were times where, you know, the band got a lot of, you know, negative feedback from the New Orleans, you know, culture or some of the older guys, just because we were doing what we wanted to do, whether it be hip-hop, you know, R&B, it just wasn't the tradition. So, but, you know, eventually over time, people kind of grasped onto what we were doing and just kind of, like, accepted it finally. But there's still some hurdles we deal with, even on the road when we travel and, you know, people from New Orleans expect a certain sound from us, and when we don't deliver that, they seem a bit upset.
Yeah.
So we're still trying to knock those barriers down, yeah, and, you know, let people know, especially from New Orleans, like, there's other methods and other approaches to this music, and stop, you know, pigeonholing us to the tradition in which you only know. Because a lot of times those people, you know, they aren't even heavily involved in the culture. They just like to represent and claim the culture yeah, because they're from New Orleans. You know, you're talking about people that probably haven't even been to a second line or, you know, paid $5 to get in a club to hear a brass band play. But when you see us on the road, you know, you want to boast and brag about your New Orleans culture and you expect this and expect that. But you haven't even really done your homework and research and to see how the scene has, you know, drastically changed and how mm-hmm. bands evolve. You know, music evolves, everything evolves. And, you know, it's just kind of frustrating when you get labeled simply because you're from New Orleans and,
yeah,
you know, what they expect the norm for you to sound like. Because it's not the same, you know, for Beyonce. She doesn't get labeled as a Houstonian wherever she goes on tour.
Right.
She gets labeled as Beyonce. You know, it's just Beyonce. You know, they don't get, why aren't you doing Texas music or, you know, country, Western or cowboy music? She doesn't get that. She just gets Beyonce. But we get, you know, why you didn't play this song? And why don't you have the Mardi Gras beads? And why didn't you bring this? And, you know, so it's just like we still deal with it, but people are starting to catch on to how we're evolving. And, you know, we're just doing it our way. And we have our own sound. And, you know, eventually that was the initial task of the band, to, you know, just to break down those barriers and be looked at as a national, international touring act on the same level as a Jay-Z or, you know, even a Michael Jackson. It's possible. It could be done. But, you know, so, yeah.
What is the stereotypical, I guess, expectation of a band from New Orleans? You know, what are they looking for that they don't see in the Soul Rebels? And why, you know, and why do they feel upset about, like, just not enjoying what you guys are doing?
Well, I think, like I said, a lot of times with it is, like I said, we always tell the guys, when I say it's like a brochure that you're going to get from New Orleans, basically telling you what to expect as far as the music, the food, and, you know, just the culture. It's like, you know, you might see Zydeco being promoted and brass bands are being promoted, you know, with, say, the Black and White playing the old traditionals. And then you even can get, like, to the point where you get, like, the Meters and the Neville Brothers, you know, and they have their own, you know, sound. And the thing about it is, like, with us, we've, like you said, we've always wanted to be, do like you said, was true to us. So it's like, you know, we always, the thing that we tell people all the time, in New Orleans, there's so many different genres of music. that don't even get the light of day. So, like, lately you've been getting it, like, even, like, the guys like Beyonce and Drake, they've stole, you know, different songs like bounce music and stuff like that. Even, you know, they've added those songs, and that's becoming, like, a popular sound. But you're talking about a sound that was born in New Orleans in 1991. You know, we've been listening to that sound, bounce music, for years. But now, you know, it's starting to get commercial acclaim, which you got people like Drake's and, like I say, Beyonce's and stuff like that. And the thing about it is, a lot of that different music, Soul Rebels has been trying to do from the beginning. You know, it's just, you know, it's just hard sometimes, like, breaking that barrier. And, you know, just getting people to understand that New Orleans has more to offer than just the stuff that you hear about all the time. You know, even like when you have big events like the Super Bowl and All-Star Game and all of that stuff come through the city, it's like, you know, it's you kind of know what music they're probably going to present if they're trying to present the image of New Orleans. And the thing that we're hoping with our work and stuff in this music industry is that the world starts seeing that there's bands, there's actually more bands like Soul Rebels. There are more groups like bounce groups like Jubilee and Big Freedia. And you have groups like Tank and the Bangers, you know, that's not necessarily doing quote-unquote New Orleans music. You know, it's like you said, all the guys that I named, we, like you said, we want to be looked at as just the Soul Rebels, not necessarily a band, like you say, from New Orleans. And I think the more that, you know, people, once they meet us and start telling other people to view us that way, I think that helps a lot. A lot of interviews we do, we kind of try to get that point across. And, you know, a lot of people, when they hear us, they're like, man, this music is not what I expected it to be, but I love it. You know, our goal has always been trying to merge people that probably won't even think to even want to hear quote-unquote New Orleans music. You know, we've been at many shows and people be like, you know, I don't even know how I came. A friend of mine just told me, come out. They had a band. You know, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't really into this kind of music, but that was because I didn't even know what it was about. But something about what you guys are doing, I love it. And, you know, it's something I can get into. And right. That's the thing we're trying to show the world, that we're trying to push that thing, but there's many other bands in New Orleans that's trying to push that same thing. You know, we think we've been fortunate lately, post-Katrina, a lot of bands have been getting some notoriety that's doing different things outside of the norm of New Orleans, quote-unquote, stereotypical music. You know, so like I say, and at the end of the day, all of us started in the roots of learning the traditions of the music. That's the thing that we always tell people. We're not people that just got into this industry and say, man, we're going to just do what we want. You know, we understand in everything you have to pay your dues. You know, you have to go to college to get a degree. You have to, you know, do what you have to do in this music to be respected in it. And I think that's the thing that helped us a lot, because most people know that Soul Rebels didn't just start doing hip-hop when they got in the business. You know, they know we, you know, did our homework, learned the true traditional music. Because the traditional music of New Orleans, from a musical standpoint, teaches you a whole lot.
Yeah.
You know, about chord changes and stuff like that. So, you know, for us, that helps us when we're doing all these different collaborations with different bands. You know, people be like, are those collaborations difficult for you guys to learn musically? For us, being that we started out doing the traditional and learning jazz and learning about chord changes and stuff like that, those songs are really easy for us to pull off. You know, it's really about, for us, is making sure we got the right rhythm groove locked in for that specific genre. But for us musically and stuff like that, it's really easier for us to do like the pop tunes and the hip hop tunes and stuff like that.
You know, throughout the, you know, the existence of this band, you know, like you've been saying, you've always been sort of, you know, really true to what you guys want to perform. But then, like, it got to this point where you guys are contributing to television and film. You're start to tour a lot. You're having these big name opening slots. You're collaborating with a lot of different music artists. You know, when did that start get popping? You know, how did that all get set in motion?
I think the first guy we collaborated with was Slick Rick. And from there, it was just an ongoing effort and a building process. I mean, it went from Slick Rick and, it just grew and grew and grew and grew. And eventually, a lot of cats started catching on to what we were doing. And, it was good for both parties because for a lot of those artists, they hadn't really done anything with a band of this caliber, especially the instrumentation. So it was a new experience for them. For some of them, it was challenging because, they really didn't know how to operate with a horn band. They were used to dealing with keyboards and guitars, but when you were on stage with a sousaphone, half of them was looking like, what the hell is this? it was definitely for some a learning process for both of us. And some of them were really natural. I mean, I remember, Nas, he's been around horns his entire life. So, it was more of an organic equation.
Yep.
And it fit, so perfectly. So he was well-versed on the music, as well as a lot of others who were heavily influenced by jazz and stuff. So, the collaboration. Yeah, Rakim. Rakim actually plays saxophone. So, it was super natural for him. Like he was just like blown away and ecstatic that he got to work with us. And it was, the feelings were mutual. So Slick Rick for sure was the first one that I can recall that we did, and that was just a trickle down effect. And even with that, it was all baby steps. We didn't just start with the Nas's and the top tier guys. We literally started at the bottom.
Yep.
And we went from this artist to that artist, and this artist started spreading the word, and so we kind of just paved that way. We're still trying to knock down doors, So it's an ongoing process, and we're not done. The mindset was kind of like we wanted to mimic the roots to an extent, but the instrumentation is obviously different. But, that was kind of the mindset. And I think that was kind of their plight as well, coming up on the scene in Philly during that era with the neo-soul groove. So they were kind of just like the band for everybody. So, and those relationships built over time, and they eventually became who they were. And that's kind of the same road we trying to go in there. But, it's just a little different with the instrumentation.
They got a sousaphone now.
Yeah, exactly. They have a sousaphone now. The reason they have a sousaphone is because they came to New Orleans. They did a show right after Hurricane Katrina. And
actually, the first guy they picked up was a guy from New Orleans on sousaphone.
What?
So I think, it was a show, that House of Blues that I think we opened up for him at it.
Oh yeah, the Cool Cigarette Tour, huh?
Yeah, yeah, we opened up for them, and I don't know if for sure that was the reason why they did it, but I know, some of the guys in the band definitely said that we made a mark on them after they seen our show, and it was like, man, you guys are doing some cool stuff, Like I said, I don't know. A while after that, they ended up with a tuba, so no telling.
Yeah,
what was the inspiration behind that? But like you said, with the hip-hop music, they've always been using and sampling, live horns and stuff like that. So for a lot of those guys, it's the being able to, like you said, to get on stage with an actual live horn band, and it's not the norm, not the guitar, like you said, keyboards, all full horns. And every time we do it, it's like, guys, everybody we've done it with is, the expectations, I think, I don't know what they usually are, but they're really surprised after the collaboration. It's like, you could tell it's not what they expected, and it's always seemed like it's been a good response, you know, so we're definitely looking forward to doing many more things like that. And for us, it's fun, man. Just, you know, we got the things that we do, but we love those different challenges and curveballs. You know, we love to get on stage with a Metallica and see, you know, how we hold up.
You know, I'm looking at a lot of the television and film appearances that you guys had, and it isn't necessarily you guys just, you know, having your music featured in these shows. It's that you guys are actually appearing. You know, what was sort of the experience with all of that when they needed that sort of authentic, you know, Southern or New Orleans like appearance of music, you know, a band that's authentic, you know. One of my favorite shows that you guys were on was The Originals, and that's something that was, you know, a show that was always, you know, showing New Orleans. It was based in New Orleans. So what was your experience with, you know, being a part of, you know, all these different, you know, shows, being sort of like that, you know, authentic piece of New Orleans that they probably were looking for?
Well, you know, it's just like you're playing a part for us when we're hired to do that particular persona for the role. We're just blessed that we authentically know what the role requires. But if we were given the chance to be actually who we are on stage, it would be something different. We had been in movies for a while. We were in Pelican Brief with Denzel Washington, and it was a purely authentic New Orleans scene. I remember the JFK movie. They took a snippet of us marching on the street. And usually, like the brother said, when they think of New Orleans and they think of New Orleans music, they automatically think of a brass band. So they usually put us in that particular role. And that's the mindset we have. We give them our best effort to portray what they want us to portray for that role. I mean, it's an honor to be in films. You know, what the other one was? Girls Trip, y'all?
Girls Trip, yeah. Girls Trip,
probably.
Like you said, we did the Originals too when we were on stage at Vampire Show.
Oh, that's the Originals. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that was the Originals, then would probably have to be the closest to what we do on stage, because I think we were doing didn't we do 504?
Yeah, I think we did do 504, and we did another thing. It was funny. In the video, they had us all in different things. I think I was sitting at the piano, you know, so that was definitely pure role-playing, playing something separate from different from what we did. Yeah, I think they did shoot in Atlanta.
Yeah, it was in Atlanta.
That's like you said, that's a lot of stuff that we're hoping to do more stuff, more of, like movies and acting. And, you know, we have guys with a lot of personality in this band, and that's the one thing we're trying to focus on now is, you know, showing the different personalities of the different members in the band. It's like everybody's unique in their own way. You know, it's a lot of times with brass band, it's always been just pushed as it's the group, you know, but
right.
we're trying to show now that, you know, people have favorites in their band. You know, it's now it's trying to find out ways to get different people connected to fans of their own. Like Julian itself might just have its own core group of fans. And it's like, we figure all that's going to help the group as a whole, you know, letting people feel more personal with us, having a personal touch with us. You know, you got guys that sneakerheads that's, you know, that don't mind connecting with Lamar online and asking him what's the latest shoes that he's getting. And it's, you know, that's the thing we're focusing on now is trying to show the individual personalities in the band and introducing everybody on their own platform.
Now, I'm a big wrestling fan, and I see that you guys performed the New Day theme back in 2017 on SmackDown Live. Like, how was that experience?
Man,
that was awesome.
Can we be honest?
Go ahead.
Just the work with them guys is awesome, man. That was, you know, a big production like that. It's definitely an honor that they even consider you being worthy of sharing the stage with them.
Booty-o.
Yeah, you know, even now, you know, we're, like I said, so Rose, you know, we're willing to do whatever it takes to get the job done. You know, we had our costumes on. It was definitely, experience. I'll put it like that. It was definitely one of those experiences that we won't ever forget, you know.
you know, that's what I just saying, Cat. I like that you're a wrestling fan. I love wrestling, too. I'm more of a vintage guy with the Ernie Ladd and Junkyard Dog games.
Yeah.
But the wrestling that now is so mainstream and one of the biggest corporate money makers in society, like Marcus and Julian said, we were just honored to be chosen to be part of the set. But it was a wild experience. That's another time, our fellas, I guess we really just played our role.
Yeah, we were hired to do, you know.
But now that I'm thinking, when you started talking about the cinema part and the movie thing, I guess that originals would have to be the closest to what we do on stage that was represented on film. I mean, even the Girls Trip thing was really purely an authentic New Orleans style performance. I'm trying to think. I mean, we've done a lot of things.
That's probably the only one. That's probably the closest one.
Yeah, that's probably the closest one. I mean, you know, we really are some urban, up to date type guys. So our videos now are really the purest representation that we finally have on visual for the world to see, you know, and it gives you the full brunt of the musicality, the profiling, the imagery, and like you said, most of all, the individuality of each member, like a group, you know. So we're just looking, hopefully the sky's the limit. The NFL Honors was cool, too. I mean, that was a real professional experience to be chosen to be the band for that event, because they usually pick bands that have the traditional instrumentation, keyboard, bass guitar, lead guitar, vocalist, and then either the tracks or the drum beat, drummer set, drum machine, et cetera, whatever. But for us to be chosen for that event and then to not even play traditional music, it was a pure honor. So
that
really showed the musicality and professionality of us as a legitimate group out here, the NFL Honors.
When you look at a group like a band like The Roots, that when they first started to be really popping in the mainstream crowd, you know, they were backing artists like Eminem and Jay-Z. They were on MTV with all of that. And then all of a sudden, they were kind of like the band that people went to when, you know, when they wanted that sort of feel to a, you know, a TV performance or a live performance, you know, and you guys kind of feel like you're like in that same vein, you know. How important is it for you guys to, you know, want to be that band that, when a movie wants that authentic jazz feel, they go to you? If an artist wants that authentic sound like that, they come to you, you know? You know, what's your thoughts about, you know, being a band that artists or, you know, TV movie execs go to when they want that particular sound?
The thing about it that I like about it is, with The Roots, is that, yes, they're a band that's, like you said, that's being called for that, but they've proven that they can actually stand on their own too without that.
Right.
And that's the thing that Soul Rebels is definitely, you know, that we try to do in this. You know, we do a lot of collaboration and performing with different artists and stuff like that. But the true thing that we feel that we bring to the table, that we're able to stand on our own too. And that's the thing that I highly respect about The Roots. It's like, yeah, they're the go-to band for the backups, but The Roots do a show that's going to sell out. Based on their own peer music and not just because they've backed up Jay-Z or they just, you know, people respect them as just The Roots alone. And I feel like that's the thing that, for us, that's the thing that we're pushing for, that we hope to accomplish that same thing during these different collaborations, that, you know, is able, when we actually able to get in a room with these guys and they really find out these guys are some, not just some good people, but they're some bad musicians. You know, it's like, you know, it's sad to say sometimes that New Orleans musicians have a perception, you know, that people have a perception of New Orleans musicians that it's just some guys that might have just picked up a horn and just, you know, just started playing without any kind of training or anything like that. So it's, you know, it's still funny in 2019 when you get in a studio with a top-notch producer and musicians and stuff, they're still surprised that what Soul Rebel is able to pull off in a studio is, like, still shocking to them. And that's the thing, like, we're just hopefully through our endeavors and things that we've been doing, hopefully people get to the point where they look at us like, if I'm bringing in a Lloyd Hargrove or whoever, Santana or, you know, whoever you bring in the studio, they look at us the same way. It's like, what's expected is the same thing that you would expect from them. And I've noticed from every experience that we've been in the studio, we've definitely, I feel accomplished that, you know, and it's, we're opening a lot of people's eyes. And like I said, that's, hopefully we get many more opportunities like that to show people that we're a standalone group on our own, just by ourselves, you know.
And you mentioned before that there's, you know, there is other groups, other bands out there, you know, like yourselves, you know, pretty much everywhere. To bands like that, you know, what sort of advice would you give to them in regards to, you know, standing on their own with their own material, but also how to work within the music industry to be that band that people call upon when they need a live backing band or something to put in a movie or TV show?
Well, I think initially, man, you have to stay true to yourself, you know, because if you don't believe in yourself, then how can you expect someone else to? Also, you gotta be pretty keen on developing your own style and swagger, because people adapt to originality a lot. You know, so I think that's one of the main components I can think of for sure. You know, because Soul Rebels, you know, we're super original. We have our own style. I mean, even, you know, and unfortunately in this business, everything is about perception. So, you know, even I know for sure, you know, when we are perceived differently just because of the way we look. You can come to New Orleans and you'll probably see maybe 10 brass bands. But 9 times out of 10, majority of them will probably look the same. But you'll see Soul Rebel, you'll be like, hold on, this is a whole different look. I mean, their approach is different, you know, the way they carry themselves. So all of that kind of comes into play, especially when you're dealing with the industry, because they're looking at every little minor thing. So you gotta find a way to stand out. And I think originality for sure, and being confident and what you are and what you believe in. And I think that's definitely helped us thus far.
And being professional, definitely.
Yeah, being professional.
You know, like the first thing you said when you got on the phone, it's not like the first time we hear that, you know, and we pride ourselves on making a good impression. You know, like you say, something simple as if you say, man, I need Soul Rebels there for 2:00, we're going to be there at 2:00. You know, we respect people's time just like we hope people respect our time, and we just respect people in general. And that's the thing that we always try to portray everywhere we go, man. We're going to give nothing but the respect to whoever we're dealing with, from the guy that's mopping the floor at the club to the promoter to whoever. We're going to give them the same respect, you know, because we figure that's one thing, you know, all of us has been raised on that. Our parents has instilled that in us, you know, and it's something that we just take with us for the rest of our days, and we're going to always do that. And that's one thing we really pride ourselves on, just being professional. You know, we figure that goes a long way.
Is there any times where you have to sort of push back respectively on something that maybe you don't agree with, or, you know, creative differences? And how do you do that?
Well, definitely. I mean, that's probably a normal occurrence for any artist I mean, you get moments when you're pigeonholed and you just draw some type of line in the sand that we got to do it. Let's talk about it. Let's negotiate. Let's at least we have to do it this way or whatever. So, I mean, you know, it's that's going to occur throughout the career. I mean,
we've had our trumpets and we've had respectively declined something. You know, like you said, at the end of the day, you have to stand for something. You know, you never know, you know, at the end of the day, like Lamar always says, you got to have a word and you got to be true to who you are at the end of the day. You know, everything else going on in the world, the main thing you want to have is a word and you want to be respected for who you really are. So that's one thing we're going to always do. We're not going to per se prostitute ourselves just for the sake of trying to fit in. You know, at the end of the day, we figure there's a million people in the world that love us for who we are. So why should we try to portray the role of somebody else just to try to fit in?
Yeah. And like they mentioned earlier on, we've went through a lot of bumps and bruises, a lot of criticism, first from your home team and then from the purists of jazz to just regular, ordinary vendors who feel sometimes we're just too aggressive. But, you know, we're kind of blessed. I mean, not kind of, but we are blessed because we've already kind of established a platform. So we can kind of turn down some things and still know that there are other horizons on the other side where we're going to still get fulfillment, you know. But some groups, you know, may not be in that position. When you're trying to hustle and scratch and crawl to make it, sometimes you got to do a few things to augment your style just to get your foot in the door. But you can't totally not have a word and sell yourself out, because it's like anything else. If they can get you like that, then somebody else feel they can get you, then eventually you become pigeonholed. So it's a tightrope. You know, that's what this business entails. But, man, I never envisioned it would be this long. I mean, this time has went with a blink of an eye for me being one of the older members. I mean, it has. It's just remarkable, and it's just a blessing. So, you know, it's a tightrope. You got to stick to your guns, but then, too, you got to know when to dip and dabble. We're on the other side of the curve now. We're totally kind of sticking to our guns because we've already went through a lot of the bumps and bruises. Still, I'm sure some on the way, but we're on the other side of the curve now.
Nice. Getting back to the album, Poetry in Motion, one of my favorite tracks on there is Down for My City. It's such a fun tribute to New Orleans. Can you talk about, like, the making of that, you know, how that all came about?
Originally, we got in the studio, you know, we agreed to do a collaboration with Manny Fresh. And we got in the studio, you know, we vibed out on a bunch of different tracks. And so we stumbled upon one. We was like, all right, this one seems pretty cool. Had a good feel to it, a good groove. And, you know, we kind of brainstormed off of that. And some of the guys, you know, got to a melody line, and so a melody line came about, and you know, Manny was present, and you know, he was coming up with all these ideas and concepts about lyrics and stuff, and you know, we kind of, you know, it's Manny Fresh, so we just like, all right, cool, you know, he telling us this, so we kind of like leaning towards, you know, the direction he's going in, and you know, so we kind of just left the ball in his court after the musical element was pretty much, you know, set in place. But, you know, after time, you know, it just kind of, the song was kind of like at a standstill. And, you know, I just was like, well, you know, it's obviously a good track, and we obviously want to use it, but at some point we got to get the ball rolling, because we can't sit around and wait on Manny Fresh and, you know, whatever his vision was. So, I had an idea. I was like, you know, maybe we can do, since Manny Fresh is on the track, maybe we could do like an old Hot Boys tribute but instead changed the words. So if you listen to the words, it's basically one of the old High Boys tunes, We On Fire. And it was basically paying homage to the city. You know, instead of saying what kind of blank would do this, we say what kind of city. And the concept of the structure of the song is the same. You know, every High Boy member will come in and do, you know, four bars, and then the next one will come in. So we have eight guys in the band. You know, mathematically, it only made sense. And all we needed was to throw in eight features to complete the song, and that's kind of how, like you said, we needed eight more people. Then we thought about it. We thought about it. Would it be cool to get a lot of the old New Orleans legends to get on the record with us? You know, a lot of the guys that haven't gotten that mainstream love. Some of them have and some haven't. You know, it was like we wanted to make it into more of a family type tune. So it was able to get guys like Jubilee and Trombone Shorty and Mia X, and we even decided to throw Emeril Lagasse in there. We just was like, let's just get a whole bunch of different people that the city know and recognize and love to get on a record with us, you know, and just make it a whole family tune. And it turned into just one of those family type vibes. And, you know, it's definitely a track we're proud of. You know, got one of the famous DJs in New Orleans, Wild Wayne, to get on there and do his famous skit that we grew up on the radio, him doing every night, you know. So it's like we wanted to make it where anybody from New Orleans hear it, they can grab something off it and just make them, you know, we always, every record we try to do something to show love to our city. Like the last record was 504, which was dedicated to, you know, everybody that was displaced after Katrina and stuff like that. So we always, every record we try to make something where we can connect with our, you know, New Orleans people and let them know that we're always thinking of them. And, you know, every time we're in the studio, we're going to definitely make something that they can connect to.
Before we get out of here, you know, you have the new album, Poetry in Motion, coming out. And then, you know, is there anything else that you can talk about? Is there anything that you have in the works?
Well, I'd say what Poetry in Motion, like I say, coming out, we're always working on new music. So that's something we've been doing. Like I said, the rest of this year, we're kind of going to be laying low, pretty much putting together a show for our Poetry in Motion tour. So, you know, we have a few things, like we go to Philly for New Year's, and we're going to do Florida next week. But like I said, a lot of stuff we're going to be doing now is really focusing on putting together a great show for our tour in 2020.
Sweet.
And like I said, we're still working on music. We're always working on music and collaborating with different artists. You know, we do a lot of producing on the side. So, you know, we're writing music for different artists and stuff like that, too. So we're always busy, so we're definitely keeping it going.
Nice. All right. It's been great talking with you guys. Like I said, the album is fantastic. You know, can't wait for other people to hear it. Before we get out of here, where can people go online to get more information about the Soul Rebels?
TheSoulRebels.com for up-to-date information and all of the tours and things like that. And there's the social media, Instagram and Facebook. You can get us on there and see up-to-date information also to check in to the band.
And like I said, the record's going to be on all musical platforms, so we're not going to be on the phone.
Yo, that's the show. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Breaking Records podcast, brought to you by Fresh is the Word. Hosted and produced by Kelly K. Fresh Frazier, empowered by Anchor at anchor.fm/breakingrecords. Breaking Records is available on all major streaming platforms. Please rate and review on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher. If you want to support Breaking Records and Fresh is the Word, please consider pledging via Patreon at patreon.com/freshistheword. Follow Breaking Records on social media, on Twitter at Breaking Rec Pod, on Instagram at Breaking Records Podcast, and join the Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/freshistheword. For more information about Fresh is the Word and Breaking Records, along with the Renaissance Soul Podcast, plus a collection of pop culture articles and reviews, please visit freshisthepodcast.com. Thank you for listening and your support. Goodbye and good night. Breaking records in the city where I live.